The bliss of the abyss.
Once upon a time in a land far away, a poor farmer and his wife lived all alone. They were very lonesome.
Abyss
with Robert Newmark Jones.
Welcome back to the show, Caitlin!
That was almost like the fake applause that all of the Premier League
right, exactly.
games are getting.
We're pumping in fake crowd noise into the podcast.
Yeah, I hope you actually put some fake crowd noise in, please.
Sure.
Thank you.
I will.
Thank you.
£15 an hour. Anyway, cheers. Welcome back.
Cheers, my dear. Thank you.
That was terrible. Let's do. Yep. Oh. Cool. Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
So now officially you're here to do Caitlin's Culinary Corner.
Yes.
The new segment in this show with its own jingle. Can we get a little preview of the jingle? Ooh, what a tease. But before we get into that, I've got a funny story. Space Mountain. Which is the first roller coaster that I got, first upside down one that I got Gem to go on, right? Me and Tom, my older brother, it was in the one in Florida.
Yeah.
And we'd been obviously hyped up about Space Mountain because it's the biggest deal, right?
It goes in the dark.
It does loop-de-loops. It does a corkscrew. It has a huge dip. The Tiana. Roller coaster, Tiana Mountain.
TM.
Please. So we were so hyped, right? And Jem had only just got to the height where he was allowed to go on these roller coasters.
Yeah.
Right? So, but he was still really young and a scared little pussy. So, but me and Tom were like, you know, bigger, more clever, just like now.
Just changed.
So we were like, look, just come in the queue with us. Just queue up with us, right? And we'll just chat. Obviously, my mum's in the queue as well. She's not going to go on the roller coaster.
No way.
So we're queuing up, and he's like, "Yeah, but I'm not going to actually go on." And we're like, "Yeah, that's fine, it's fine." We're just queuing. Look, and you queue up, you get to look at it. It goes, whooshes past, and that's all exciting. And we're finally coming up to the bit where you're just about to sit down, right? And everyone is like, oh my God, you know, you can feel the excitement in the air. I mean, it's Space Mountain. It's the best ride,
right?
It's ridiculous. And Jem is just, he's at this point freaking out. He's like, guys, look, I know what you're trying to do. I'm not going to do it, okay? I'm not going to do it. And my mom's like, that's okay, darling. Obviously, it's your decision. And me and Tom are like, yeah. And we get to the front of the line and they're like, okay, take your seats. And a row, I think it was three to a row, right?
Yeah.
And Jem's like, that's it, I'm going, right? And we're like, well, what you do is you just go through, step on and step off the other side. That's the only way to get through. I'm in front, Tom's behind, Jem's in the middle. I go in, I sit down, Tom sits down. We use, and I still can't believe to this day that this line worked. We use the line, just sit in the seat, see what it's like. He sits down, we clamp him in, we strap him up, it goes, doot.
Oh no!
And away we go. And he fucking loved it.
Loved it. That's how it works. Yeah.
Of course he did.
So yeah, that's how it works.
It's a great memory. And I think we went on it again that day. It was just fucking brilliant.
That sounds great.
It was great. Do you have any theme park stories?
Yes. One that actually relates to that. Mm. My parents, I'm an only child, and so there's no one to watch me. So we would go to Florida every year and to theme parks every year. And they'd kind of, when I was a baby, one parent would wait in line. The other parent would have to wait off the ride.
Right.
Because I couldn't go on them
someone
or I didn't want
like
to.
Someone was like a chaperone with you and someone would be, okay, yeah.
Yeah. And I was about six and my dad was like, you know what? She's going to go on. I'm not going to take this anymore. She's going to go on. And it was for Tower of Terror.
Tower of Terror. Oh, that's a word that you don't like saying as well.
Tower of Terror. Why can't I say it? It's like I have a speech impediment.
Say Tower of Terror with Rory McCrory.
No, but you said tower, like...
Tower? We walk.
Oh, it's the Tower of Terror. The Tower of Terror with Rory McGorry. Why can't I do it?
I don't know, my love.
But anyway, yeah, so my dad was like, he's pretty sneaky. And we were waiting in line with my mom, and they both wanted to go on the ride, and they were so tired of waiting in the queues for, like, so long. And each time we stepped forward, I was like, I'm not going on this ride. And they're like, yeah, of course you're not. We're just waiting in line. And I'm like, I'm not going on this ride. I'm not going on this ride. And what happens with Tower of Terror, you slowly work your way up, because you start up.
Oh, of course, because it's got to
drop. Or at least halfway up. You start halfway up, so you're going through, like, a Twilight Zone. Really cool when you're waiting, but you're going through the different rooms and stuff. And I'm like, I'm not going on this. And they're like, yeah, of course not. And they did the same exact thing. And then when they did get me onto it, it zooms all the way up and then drops you and then goes back up. It doesn't drop all the way down at first. So it drops quite a few times and goes all the way up. And then when you finally get to the top, the doors open to see out into the theme park.
Right. And you're.
So you're in like pitch blackness and then light comes in. And when the light came in, I realized there was an old lady sitting next to her. I'm freaking out as a 6-year-old, but there's this old lady and her wig is going up and down. And it was just in the air and I started giggling because I saw her hair fly off. And she was enjoying herself. And then after that, I wanted to go on like 3 more times.
Right. Did the wig land back on her head?
I'm pretty sure it wasn't a hat. It was like a gray wig. It was an old lady wig, actually.
Age appropriate wig.
Yeah, it was age appropriate, and and she was loving her life, so it was fine. But
for some reason, in my head, I'm imagining it's got a chin strap to it, but that would give away
that it's a wig.
Give away the wig a bit, but it looks better for the comedy. That's a great story.
Yeah, I didn't ever not told you that one.
No, I don't know that one. No. I like the big drop rides where your stomach exits your mouth.
I didn't think I would like that, but I do once I'm on it. But you know me, I'm a bit chicken with this stuff. But the thing is, like I said to you, that I've never been on an upside down roller coaster, but I didn't even realize Space Mountain was like a staple for me. So I've been on that loads.
Yeah, so
and the Aerosmith ride too, which I think is an upside down. It does a corkscrew thing. I used to go to them all the time because my grandpa had a house. No.
Oh, because of Florida.
Yeah, he had a vacation house in Sarasota. So like it was kind of free for my parents and, you know, they didn't make that much money. So I think that was our vacation every year to kind of go somewhere tropical. Vacation. Yeah, and we drive down there and But yeah, I know the parks pretty well because that was kind of like our little summer.
You want to chat about other bollocks or do you want to go to the culinary corner?
Culinary corner.
Yeah, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we're back. We've got all the opinions we need right in this room. We got hot takes on everything, including garlic confit, I'm guessing. Sharp kitchen knives. The stupidity of squeezy bottles. I don't know. Basically, what I'm saying is we have a new segment, and I'm wondering how much is stolen from Anthony Bourdain. Everybody, please give it up for Caitlin's Culinary Corner.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, you're not winning an award.
Thank you. Here she is.
Okay, do you want to do a live take of the theme song right here on the mic?
Caitlin's Culinary Corner. Yeah.
Nice.
Is that good?
Yeah, I like it.
Okay. I mean, you told me not to breathe into the mic. revealing Mark. All the secrets. the reason why I wanted to come on today with my new special is because happy birthday to Anthony Bourdain.
Happy birthday, HBDAB.
Yeah.
I wonder what his middle name was.
I don't know, but Anthony Bourdain's definitely part French. Rob and I are currently reading Kitchen Confidential. And
big recommendation.
Massive.
Such a good
huge,
book.
Huge recommendation.
Huge. Hey, it's huge. Yeah, It's one of those books that you're 20 pages in and you flip to the end and you're like, how long is this book?
Yeah.
Like you're already thinking, I'm going too fast and it's going to be over.
20 pages in, I looked at Rob because we have this little book club. So we're both reading it at the same time. Yeah.
His middle name is Michael.
Oh, Michael. Miguel. And I looked at him 20 pages in. I said, I'm going to read this again. And didn't even finish.
So, yes, happy birthday to Anthony Bourdain, one of the greats.
One of the greats.
One of life's greats.
There are lots of really beautiful Instagrams that kind of live in his memory and have people or encourage people to submit stories about how they impacted, like how he impacted their lives. Yeah. And that's how I found out that it was his birthday, because it's a trending hashtag. Mm.
That's good.
Yeah. So, you know, truly a gem of a human.
Yeah, much missed.
Yes. So in the culinary corner, I wanted to say happy birthday to him and touch upon, like you said, two things in his book. Number one, garlic confit.
Okay. So first up in Caitlin's culinary corner. But by the way, before we talk about garlic confit, and I'm dying to, what is Caitlin's culinary corner? I don't feel like we've set this segment up. What happens? Each week you...
add a bunch of bay leaves to a dish.
The Big Bay Theory.
The Big Bay Theory, yeah.
But we've debunked the Big Bay Theory. Bay is bollocks.
Well, that's what Caitlin Aries?
Caitlin Aries Culinary Corner.
Caitlin Aries.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it doesn't work.
Cut that.
Caitlin's Culinary Corner is whatever the fuck I say it is.
Oh, shit. You're going to do a Putin on me and take over my podcast.
You're lucky to have me at this time. I have lots to do.
Wow. Okay. Well, all right. Okay, fine. I'll ask no further questions.
Okay, but it's also about, you know, all things culinary, all things shaped in a corner with a 45-degree angle and perhaps 90.
Was that a corner joke? Was that a pun? Get out. How dare you? Yes, we're pretty obsessed with cooking, aren't we?
Obsessed.
We're always trying new things. We're always trying to hand make our own. Like, what's the newest? You made samosas recently.
But gluten free ones with rice paper. So you can make, just to let anyone listening know, you can make rice paper samosas, and we did it in a. We baked them and didn't bake them for long enough, but they did crisp up.
But you
fry them,
extra crispy, didn't you?
Yeah, because if you want it to get really close to like the traditional samosa dough, then you fry it.
Pastry, but is pastry is dough actually? What am I talking?
I think
about?
Pastry is a dough. Yeah,
and we had mango chutney with it.
It was really good, and the filling was really pretty easy
what was
to
that
do.
Last week was that the week where we had curry night
every night?
Night. No wonder I'm fucking overweight right now. What are we doing?
Caitlin's Culinary Corner. Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for saying that I'm not overweight anymore.
You're not.
Bean. Caitlin.
What?
The woman I married. You just laughed instead. Confirmation.
I mean, what's marriage without being a little honest? I mean.
Okay, so number one in the Culinary Corner. What do we have?
Well, I wanted to say happy birthday to Anthony Bourdain.
Okay, that's number two.
We wanted to talk about garlic confit because he listed that in his book. That's not as big of a spoiler as you all think, so still read it. But
wow, was that a message to the haters?
Why are you hating on me? But one of the things, he was like listing out the things that you need if you were trying to be a professional chef in a very sarcastic way. But he did list the things that he had in his station, and one of them was garlic confit, which you made.
Yeah.
Yesterday, 2 days ago? Yesterday. And it is a game changer. Oh. My God. Well, as for someone who loves garlic as much as I do, why have I not looked into the ways of cooking it?
I don't know. Like, but leave it to the French to come up with something amazing to do with garlic. They know what they're doing.
Do you want to explain what it is?
Garlic confit. So what it is you get whole cloves of garlic. Which down Brixton Market, you can get a load for a pound. Already, what do you call it? Crushed.
Already
not crushed,
peeled.
What's that?
No, we're in Culinary Corner. They're singing.
Okay. So, so you get a whole load of cloves and you slowly, on the low
heat,
simmer them on the lowest heat you can, covered in olive oil. And you can put like a herb in there, thyme or a rosemary or something. But for the first one, I didn't. I just wanted it to be pure. Really. And then the cloves become kind of buttery.
And mushy. And soft. So good.
But they still hold together. And then you put it in the fridge and it becomes just a thing that you can stir in or top
anything.
Anything with. And it tastes amazing.
It tastes amazing. It looks really cool, especially if you put it in a mason jar if you're like a hipster asshole like us.
Yeah.
One collective hipster asshole together.
Yeah.
And... Oh, but the asshole's so pretty.
Sometimes. You know what I've realized as I've become an ancient human? is that my problem used to be, thank you, again, just laughing. My problem used to be that I'd add too many ingredients to everything.
Yeah.
And what I'm learning, is, and Bourdain says it, is like, what you want is just like 3 to 5 ingredients, and they're just good quality.
Right.
And you take your time with them, and it tastes better than when you throw the whole kitchen sink in there.
Yeah. I mean, think about when we went to Basque Country and we got steak, and it was literally just steak with, I'm pretty sure, rock salt, just, or like, you know, salt, like Dead Sea salt, whatever.
Something like that.
And then it had frites. And I think the frites also just had salt.
They had some salt, maybe.
Maybe some kind of like herb.
Maybe. But mayonnaise.
And mayonnaise. And that was it. And that was like the best.
I still think about it.
Yeah. And remember when the guy brought it out and it was like the size of the table and he was like, is this big enough for you? And I'm like, this is half of the cow, man. Like, I might as well just, like, you know.
Yeah. So that's a good top tip. Caitlin's Culinary Corner top tips.
Yes.
Everyone can easily make a garlic confit. It's not expensive. And then you can easily wow someone you're trying to impress.
Yeah.
Dinner party,
including yourself, like, wow your taste buds.
Yeah.
Take yourself out on a date, where else are you going?
It smells delicious as well.
It looks cool, smells really great, tastes great. And actually, probably most of the things in restaurants that you're getting that has that, like, really, like, apparent garlic, where you see it and it's all chopped up and stuff, it's probably a confit.
Yeah.
Which is quite cool.
Cool. So there we go. Tip number 1.
Tip number one.
Cool. What else do we have?
Tip number 2.
I'm enjoying this segment. It's good. Robert's Culinary Corner. Ruskin sweeps in to steal a bit.
Good artist borrow, great artist steal.
Thanks, Picasso.
Imagine if it's like great artist iron.
What, he's just trying to weed them out.
Hold on, how many metal things can you do? Metal. You can steal, you can iron.
Ooh.
Anything else?
I see what you mean. So names of metals that are also verbs.
Tinny, it sounds tinny, but that's
an adjective. Do we need verbs? Yeah, you said can do.
Yeah.
You can silver something, can't you?
That's very interesting. Well, galvanize, but that's a thing. It's not a metal.
No, it's a steel. That's not an element. But I guess, who cares if it's an element? Mm. You can... I feel like there is another one. You can... A policeman is called a copper.
That's good, though. I'll take it.
Not bad.
We got copper. We got... You can... Oh, I'm sure... Well, mercurial.
Mercurial is a good one.
Mm.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, let's leave on a win.
Okay.
Okay, back to
Caitlin. Lead.
Lead.
We led them by their balls.
Who are them and what are we doing with their balls?
Caitlin's Culinary Corner. That's it. I'm done. I'm leaving.
Mic drop. Please do not drop that mic.
Okay.
So, tip number two.
Okay, tip number two. I'm going to actually move on because read the book.
Do read. If you're moving on from the book, the thing that really struck me about the book, not that I finished it, but that section was great where he gives you tips about what chefs do. He said you really only need one knife.
One knife, but one of them could be offset serrated knives, which is in my notes.
You can also have... Oh, okay, so we'll get to that. That sounds cool. But he was just like, just a big... You don't need all of those array of small, just a big... As big as you, as fits your hand, high quality, keep it sharp. That's what chefs do.
That's what chefs do.
That's what chefs do.
And like, we need better knives because we have really nice knives, but they're our roommates.
I do have one that I really like and I want to use for everything.
For everything
big,
now.
The big flat.
Yeah.
I do like that one.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is probably a bit boring. So let's go on to number 2.
Number two. Tip number two.
Is it a tip?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is a tip. And it's something that is... changed both of our lives recently.
Drum roll, please.
Collagen peptides.
Oh shit,
she got that collagen, boo. Collagen peptides. So once upon a time, I guess people...
Ooh,
don't...
I like this. Weave the tale.
Yeah, once upon a time, Caitlin had psoriasis for over 16 years. And by psoriasis, like, it covered basically my whole body.
At certain points, you had it really bad.
Like, really badly.
The scalp. was sometimes really
my whole
bad.
Scalp. And in I was ears. Put on all these different types of medicines, which I'm actually happy to do a psoriasis talk if anybody was interested in it. But they put you on all these crazy things because psoriasis is an overactive immune system. So your body produces skin cells too fast.
Yes.
And so all of the medicine outside of the topical ones like creams, so the internal ones, the ones that you ingest, are all immunosuppressants.
Yeah.
So you can get really sick on them.
Right, because your body's defenses are down.
Yeah. And basically all these immunosuppressants are often shared with other illnesses. So people who have psoriasis will be given like prescriptions that are meant for chemotherapy patients or organ patients who've had their organs transplanted,
so
and
their
stuff.
Body doesn't reject it.
So it doesn't reject it because your immune system otherwise
heavy
would.
Duty stuff.
Yeah, so really. Like I was sick all the time,
yeah,
and already had like too much of a overactive immune
and
system.
And lots of steroids as well, which
are not good.
Of that is not
well.
Good
the topicals are steroids, and they're not good, and like doctors don't like prescribing them. But like I've had such heavy steroids anyway. So the point is, I'm sure that actually most people listening have had some form of skin issue like that.
Pretty common, isn't it, actually?
It's really common.
I know I have, yeah.
It's really common, and whether it's psoriasis or acne or eczema or rosacea or any of these things, mm-hmm. they kind of pop up, especially when weather changes. Mm. And so I've tried everything, and actually there's a lot of things that have worked, and we could do another book review at some point with Hannah Sillitoe.
So let's give her a shout out. What's
Radiant by Hannah Sillitoe. It's a beautiful book. It's a woman who was also going on methotrexate, which is a chemotherapy drug, which is also used for abortions. Mm. So when they were telling me I needed to go on it, they were like, do not at all have like any thought in your head of having a baby, which I didn't at the time, but were like, that baby will come out like deformed.
Yeah, I remember you being kind of traumatized because this doctor clearly had no bedside manner and had been like, listen, if I'm going to put you on this, don't have a baby because you will have a stillbirth. And you were like, Jesus, lady, I'm just here for my skin.
Yeah, well, not even that. They said, they didn't even say you'll have a stillbirth. They said, the baby will be deformed and we will force you to abort it.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it was a crazy NHS experience. The NHS is not often like this. We love the NHS here in this room, but it was
NHS.
A horrible experience.
We still applaud every Thursday. No one else does.
Yeah,
anymore,
we still do with the pods. We're like, ah! but that experience, it was just a doctor that I didn't like, and she made me cry. And anyway, so she wanted to put me on something called methotrexate, and actually, Hannah Sillitoe was also told to go on methotrexate. I think it's a common drug in the UK for psoriasis.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, and she said no, and then she ended up basically just changing her entire diet.
Yeah.
And going kind of homeopathic and going vegan for the most part. But by doing that and eliminating all these things, I think that she realized for herself that she was slightly allergic to things like nightshades, like tomatoes, and allergic to like caffeine, and gluten was a big one.
Right.
So it's a good book to read in terms of like if you're trying to figure out if you're like slightly lactose intolerant, that might show up in your skin.
Yeah. Exactly.
But that's the same for acne or anything. What you eat's kind of come out.
Of course, we are what we eat, right? And she realized it's like radical elimination, and then you start to introduce things back in.
Yeah, and healthy things like and different oils and stuff and vitamins. Yeah. So the book's really, really great, and it's just good for a healthy reset as well. Mm. So for anyone who's not suffering with skin issues, it's still a good thing. But shout out to her.
Yeah. But as good as her advice is, and that brilliant that
and I went off medicine with that,
and it really helped. It really cleaned up your skin. But she doesn't mention collagen in it, right?
Not from what I can tell, because collagen is actually an animal product, I think.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
I don't think
it?
There's like a synthetic and vegetarian version of it, and I think that's the reason why. So not trying to call her out. And it might be in the book. I haven't checked.
Right, but it might just be a blind spot because of her specific diet.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, in your culinary corner, why is collagen peptides your second tip?
So so once upon a time, I had psoriasis for 16 years, and then one day I wanted my hair to look nice, and I wasn't thinking about psoriasis at all, and I wanted to see what I could take to naturally increase hair growth. And I've tried biotin and lecithin before, and like you can get really weird flush reactions to that. And so I looked up on Reddit, like, what's the best thing to grow your hair? Because Reddit knows.
Reddit knows everything.
Yeah, Reddit knows everything. And Well, someone said collagen peptides for their hair, that they have never gone back. Mm. They take it, makes their hair look a lot nicer and whatnot. Mm. And I was like, okay, what's collagen peptides? I start looking it up and I find all these...
Can you explain a bit what collagen peptides exactly are?
Well, I can explain basically... Okay, just one second. Let me... The way I understand it is that... So when your body's inflamed...
Yep.
Your body stops producing collagen, and collagen is what provides like elasticity and like moisture and whatnot to your skin. That's how I understand. And hair.
Okay.
And so if you're inflamed, which a lot of people are because they're eating poor foods,
yep,
like fried foods and stuff, or they have an autoimmune disease or something, your body doesn't produce enough of that.
Right.
And so when you reintroduce it back in, it starts making your skin look a lot better. It kind of does a plumping thing. I think that's why like some people do it in their lips and stuff. It makes
just... Are the lip fillers their collagen?
I think they're collagen. We could check, but I'm pretty sure it's all of that. So I don't know exactly. So I think I don't know where collagen comes from in the animal, but I do know it comes from animals.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's a fat or.
But if you're pescatarian, you can have it, can't you? Because a lot of it's marine collagen a lot of the time.
So there's bovine collagen. There's what would the chicken one be? There's one from chickens.
Avian?
Maybe avian. There's a bovine one, which a lot of people do. And then there's one that comes from chickens, and I don't know what that one's called. And then there's marine collagen, which comes from fish.
Right.
And basically, a lot of people say that they prefer the marine collagen one, and I don't know why, but you can digest it better than the bovine one.
That makes sense. Yeah. Fish in general is easier to digest than red meat.
I guess, yeah. So
it's a lighter.
And then for whatever reason, people say you also take vitamin C with it to digest the collagen peptide.
Yeah.
But the only reason why I'm bringing it all up, and like I'm still new to it, this has only been... Under a month,
yeah, I'd say 3 weeks.
So I started scooping, like they tell you, like, do 2 generous scoops. And I was like, you know what, fuck it, I'm desperate, I'm going to do 2 generous scoops. But most of the time, you don't have to do that much.
And you just put it in your morning coffee.
Yeah, or water. It depends on how hot the coffee is. You shouldn't put it into too hot of a drink.
Right, because it can break it down.
But I stir it in every morning, and you do it for me sometimes too. I don't know how to explain, but everything went away.
Yeah, you look radiant right now.
Thank you.
I mean, it's been a crazy hot sunny day and you've been outside, so you have a nice glow anyway. But like it for someone who's had this skin issue sometimes really bad for a long time.
Yeah.
It must have changed a lot of your brain.
It's crazy. I mean, like, it's weird when you start noticing your body over your skin.
Yeah.
And that's whenever I realized that my psoriasis has gone down. Because often when you have psoriasis, all you can see is your skin, or all you can think about are either ways that you're showing the world it or ways that you're covering it up.
Right.
And so the fact that now basically what's all over my skin is what looks like vitiligo, but it's actually psoriasis healing because it heals so rapidly. The weird thing about psoriasis is that the skin cells... they kind of just go in one direction or the other. So when you start healing, it's rapidly, you'll get psoriasis all over your body or in really bad patches, or it'll rapidly decrease. And when it rapidly decreases, because there was psoriasis there, if you had any pigment before from like the sun, it just goes straight to being like white. So it looks like vitiligo, but it's not. But that's basically what's all over my body is like really light spots.
You've only got a few little patches.
But it's amazing.
Healing.
No, but that's just that's like healing and growth and stuff. Mm. And so the fact that that's happened to me by just having that every day with a probiotic, like your gut really straight. Like
your second brain, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So like psoriasis is full on like inflammation, and collagen isn't produced when you have inflammation. And I think collagen adds that elasticity. I don't know if it's good for your bones, but I do know it's good for your skin, for sure.
Mm.
And it's like people take it for wrinkles and stuff. And there's collagen in like ointments and stuff. And people inject collagen. And I don't know if Botox has collagen in it. We should look that up.
I think Botox is like a poison because it freezes everything in place.
Right.
I think it's like almost the opposite of something like collagen.
Yeah.
I think it's something a bit toxic because what it does is it just shuts down all movement in the localized area.
Yeah.
As opposed to like plumping it or whatever.
But I also thought that Botox tightened things.
Yeah, it stops wrinkles, but it stops it as in like you can't do that
you
anymore.
Can't move you, it you can't right, move right, it right,
so
right.
So there's no wrinkling there's How no wrinkling up to happen. So well this now thank you
sorry that's gonna
good, no lots yeah. of good info. I would argue that this is Caitlin's scientific segment rather than culinary corner.
Excuse me. I put it into my coffee. I drink it. I ingest it every day. I eat it. You want to talk about how... Okay, it looks like nothing. It smells like nothing. It tastes like nothing. There you go. Bada bing, bada boom. Put it in your kitchen.
Is this a riddle?
Yeah.
What looks like nothing, tastes like nothing, and smells like nothing? Meatball.
Meatball.
Excuse me.
Robert's calling it. Okay, so here's a tip number three.
Oh, tip number three. There's a third tip.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Okay. So tip number three is like burping. It's going to happen, right? Like you eat something, you drink something too quick, you're going to burp.
Right.
But if you have to burp and it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
You might as well put your arm out and present it
to the world.
To the world as if you intended it. Embrace it.
Yeah. Just do that. Or... if you're in like a polite situation, say sorry.
Ah, baby, we go in.
Just loudly belch.
Because you don't have to and you know you don't.
Yeah, exactly. It's enjoyable. I guess. Yeah. Was that an impromptu segment?
Yes, because you just burped and you presented.
Well, look at you adapting on the fly. Now, listen, is that the end of the culinary corner?
Yes.
I wanted to ask you some riddles.
Okay.
Because... one time, I don't know how long ago. Let's
one
say,
time.
One time. 6 months ago, I was going, for some reason, we were sat up.
Sober.
We were sober as clowns. We were just sat up and doing riddles, and I realized that you have a strange talent for them. So hopefully, you don't remember these, and we can see if you can get them.
Okay, I'll try.
Would you like to sing the outro music for Caitlin's Culinary Corner? And once again, thank you very much for the top tips.
Corner culinary Caitlin's.
Yeah.
Oh, I should have done yeah first.
Brilliant. Okay, so this is from riddles.com.
Riddle me these.
Let's see if you can get any of these. Now I don't know the answers to these either.
So okay, are you gonna edit if it out. Takes me 20 minutes to figure it out?
Yeah, I'll edit that out. I'll make it a longer silence. Okay, here's the riddle. Carl is trying to find solutions to a geometric puzzle. What? No, let's not do that one. That's just math. That's not a riddle. Okay, this is more like a riddle. What is black when you buy it, red when you use it, and grey when you throw it away? Mm-hmm. So what is black when you buy it, red when you use it, and grey when you throw it away? Or when you're done with it.
A matchstick?
I'm going to give you that. It's charcoal.
Okay, I was thinking something thing. Like that. Yeah, because it goes to ash.
Fire, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you that. What is it that when you take away the whole, you still have some left over? So what is it that when you take away the whole, you still have some left over? Oh my God. I saw the answer. It's annoying.
It's going to be something like time. Or it's always like that with the riddles.
It's stupid, actually. It's wholesome. When you take away whole, you still have some.
Oh,
left
heart?
Over.
Love?
No, wholesome.
Oh.
The word wholesome.
Eh, get out of here.
Get out of here, meatball.
Meatball. Maybe you're on the wrong riddle site, Rob.
It's riddles.com, mate.
Mate.
What can be heard and caught but never seen?
Sound?
Catch sound. You can see sound in a sound wave, right?
Oh, yeah, okay. Heard.
Maybe that doesn't count.
Heard and
caught like a fish.
Oh, no.
But never seen.
Oh, no. I was going to say sheep, but you can see sheep.
But never seen. Sheep! I've never seen one. Prove it. Oh, my God. You know what that reminds me of? The sheep.
Yeah.
Called, I believe, Cornelius. Is that right?
I hope so.
Do you want to tell people about the sheep?
Okay.
I'll put it in the recommendation. I'll put a picture in the thing.
Once upon a time, there was a sheep that got out and he went on a little adventure for like 16 years.
No, not 16 years. It was 6 years.
Minus 10.
Right. Thanks.
So 6 years. 6 years. And then they thought he was, you know, he was feeding the fishes. And they replaced him. It was done. They missed out on his wool production. And then one day, the wool fairy came to town.
You're making this story really confusing.
And
I mean, I know the story and I don't know what the fuck you're talking about right now.
You know, the wool fairy.
What's a wool fairy?
Protector of all sheep from wolves.
Wait, is it a wool fairy or a wolf?
I'll leave it to you.
No! That's the... You decide.
You decide if the
wolf or wool.
Wolf. It's the wolf fairy. Anyway, the sheep came back and the sheep had like 20 years worth of wool.
Okay, you've rubbished this whole story. You've done a terrible job. What are you doing? Sheep goes missing, is found 6 years later.
With 20 years worth of wool.
Obviously, it has not been shorn.
Check out this wool!
And it survived. This is kind of my favorite fact about it. It survived because the wool had grown so big that you literally were not able to like bite through it.
I mean, it became the wool fairy.
It actually was the wool fairy.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
See, I wasn't wrong. You understand?
Well, I already knew the story. For people listening, they were probably like, "What is this?"
They'll Google it. They have a device.
They might have a device, and they could Bing it.
Bing it.
They have another riddle. They have not flesh, nor feathers, nor scales, nor bone. Yet they have fingers and thumbs of their own. What are they?
Isn't there fingers of a piano? But what else might have fingers?
It's better than that. Actually, I quite like this one.
They have not flesh, nor feathers, nor scales, nor bone, yet they have fingers and thumbs of their own. What are they? Something that holds something that is not alive. What can it be? What holds something?
And it has fingers and thumbs.
Yeah, what has a thumb? Well, that's why I said the piano, because piano fingers, but... Ooh!
You're so close.
Well, hands of a clock?
Thumbs? Thumbs of a clock?
No, but hands of a clock.
I know.
What has thumbs?
Fingers and thumbs. You're so close with the holding something thing.
I give up. I don't know.
Gloves.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know?
I should have thought more literally. Okay.
I'm
not so good at this.
Let's see. Let's get you a win. This is as light as a feather, yet no man can hold it for long. What am I? Why isn't it a woman?
Their breath. Air.
Your breath. Look at that. Huh?
Boom.
Here, give me one. I'm terrible at these, though.
I'm not alive, but I grow. I don't have lungs, but I need air. I don't have a mouth, but water kills me. What am I?
A mushroom?
No. I'm not alive, but I grow. Right. I don't have lungs, but I need air. I don't have a mouth, but water kills me. What am I?
Water kills them. What does water kill? Can I have a clue? God, I suck at these.
You need water to kill it.
That's not a clue. That's already in the riddle. Hold on.
Avatar.
Oh. Fire.
Yes.
Nice.
I didn't like that I don't have a mouth, because isn't there the mouth of the fire? Is that a thing?
I don't think that's a thing.
That's a Caitlinism.
There's a mouth of a river.
Take me to the river.
Yeah. There's an eye of the storm. There's a mouth of a river.
Belly of a fire.
There's a butt of a lake.
Shut up.
Belly of fire.
A very pretty thing am I, fluttering in the pale blue sky, delicate, fragile on the wing. Indeed, I am a pretty thing. What am I? This is
it's a butterfly.
But that's just a description.
Yeah, I think they got carried away by the rhyme.
I don't like riddles.com. No, there, I said it.
We have to end on a win.
I don't like this.
All right. We'll abandon riddles. But seeing as you're here, why don't we just talk about some of the things that I wanted to talk about?
Okay.
So
one of them garlic convite.
No. So one of the things I wanted to talk about is one of them's sort of more serious and one of them's less serious. Let's talk about the more serious one first. Why have they decided to open pubs and not swimming pools? What do you think is going on? Because it seems to me that COVID-19 affects people who are unhealthy much worse than people who are healthy.
Yeah.
Like tenfold worse. And it sounds awful for those people who go through it. So why aren't they giving out advice like eat better, exercise more, and opening gyms? Is it really more dangerous to go to a pool or a gym than to go to the pub in terms of social distancing and spreading? They're both indoors. They're both lots of people.
They both have lots of surfaces. But I do think that this is a war on chlorine.
Warine,
if you will.
Is that what this whole thing's about?
Yeah. Because clearly, going to a swimming pool will only kill all the viruses except for the fungus on your feet.
Yeah.
And can you get COVID foot? It's like trench foot, but COVID foot.
You can.
I rest my case.
Actually, when they took, remember when Trump had said that crazy thing about injecting bleach or whatever?
Yeah.
Madman. But chlorine is like a kind of bleach, isn't it?
And yeah, it kills everything. That's why they put it in pools, because otherwise it would actually kind of be a cesspool.
Yeah.
Because we had a pool growing up and you need a filter and you need to constantly skim stuff out because animals just kind of commit suicide the whole time. They do. I mean, they want a drink, I think, presumably.
I was about to say.
But you're in the pool
so
and they're
long,
just...
long, cruel world. Yeah,
they just dive bomb, like, right into the pool.
Yeah.
Okay? The whole time. So you're getting them out the whole time and go somewhere hotter. And, you, like, anytime you've gone anywhere hot for a holiday, there's, like, massive murder hornets.
Yeah.
Just floating around on a holiday vacation themselves.
Bugs are drawn to the pool.
Yeah, and, like, so... And people do natural like solutions to swimming pools, which just means a lot more salt.
Just salt.
But most people use chlorine, and it's the stuff that if you don't use goggles, by the end of it, your eyes are red, and it makes your blonde hair green and all that stuff. And what do you think that's doing? If it can dye hair green, it's fucking killing out COVID.
Right.
It just is. And I think that they're more concerned with the surfaces bit, but I think that WHO released something that it's not about surfaces really anymore.
Yeah, well, the WHO seem to release conflicting stuff every other day.
You say WHO, I say WHO.
Yeah, well, WHO means people know what I'm talking about. WHO is, it sounds like we're doing Abbott and Costello. You know, who's on first, what's on second.
Yeah. That's also really good to recommend.
That is a hilarious, absolutely hilarious clip. We could watch it now, but we would just descend into fits of giggles because it's so funny.
Ooh, the owl police. Unlike the jazz police.
Go on.
The Owl Patrol. Owl Patrol!
Owl Patrol, meatball! So you might be wondering why I keep saying meatball. Because last night I couldn't sleep for a bit, so I just went and chilled in a different room. And Caitlin like woke up, went to the toilet, sent me a text being like, what's going on, meatball?
Meatball!
I was like, I'm fine.
He's putting the accent on because of where I'm from.
Yeah, well, you can do it so well. It's great.
Meatball, what's going on? I mean, that's how the culinary corner should be like.
Yeah. And if you like the sound of those pipes, listen again in future because we're going to have John Barry on the podcast.
My father.
Some New York stories in a thick accent.
Because he's my father.
Oh, because he is our father.
Shout out to Katarina and Nils.
Nils, the whole family. We love you guys. So that's a good take. Thanks for that on pools.
Yeah. You said that was serious. I mean, I took that very seriously.
It was very serious. I just think it's ridiculous.
I don't think they should open either. Yeah, like
if you're going to open one,
open
both. There's no reason to not open. Because remember, we were going to go bowling, right? We booked it. They were all excited. Yeah. Bowling alleys are open.
Yeah.
And then the government released it. Like, no, we can't have bowling alleys.
Still haven't heard back from you, Hollywood Bowl. You're on my hit list.
Yeah, on the not recommends list this week, Hollywood Bowl. You suck.
You suck, unless you redistribute my ticket.
And then please can we
go bowling. Please can I come back?
Please. I'd love to bowl.
Please. Flintstones. Meet the Flintstones. They're the modern Stone Age family.
From the
town of Bedrock. It's a place right out of history. Yeah.
The thing is that in my head, I always just go to the Simpsons one. Simpsons. Simpson. Oh, yeah. He's the greatest guy in history. Do you remember the next bit? From the town of Springfield.
He's about to hit a chestnut tree. Yeah, hit a chestnut tree. I was going to say drive into a tree.
Yeah. So the other thing I wanted to ask you about is, what is your opinion on securing the perimeter?
I have not watched Homeland.
Doesn't have to be Homeland.
I will not watch Homeland.
Do you want to explain to people what I mean by securing the perimeter?
He means this is how Caitlin's culinary corner got on the show, because I secured the perimeter. And basically, what securing the perimeter means is making some damn garlic confit.
Okay, you're confusing everyone again. Stop reshaping narratives to fit you as the hero.
Well, stop bringing me on the show then, but you won't. I got a contract now. So when you secure the perimeter, you best be working out.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, basically, you're telling someone not only to be proud of you for doing what you should do to be healthy, but stay the fuck out of my room because there's about to be some COVID sweat.
Yeah. All up in this bitch.
All up in this bitch.
Yeah. So that's what I do now. When I work out, I secure the perimeter by watching shows where it's constantly going like this.
Do you remember? We're actually, okay, here's an aside.
Aside.
Rob and I are actually quite good at securing the perimeters. And the reason why I'm saying that is because it's now defunct. You cannot get this experience, so don't try. But I don't remember the numbers, but we did this interactive zombie experience.
God. Variant 31.
Variant 31, yeah. It's done. It's kaput. You can't do it now, and for good reason. But we were willing test subjects to Variant 31. And basically what it entailed is, I think we went to like East London to an abandoned warehouse.
Actually, it was weird in that it's in Central London. It's just
Central London, just
off Oxford Street in like a bunch of derelict buildings.
It was derelict, which is why I thought East London. Sorry. And you kind of like get in line, and then while we're waiting there, they took everything, by the way, off of me, including my wedding ring.
Yeah, not cool.
I was not happy about that. They made me take, like, my diamond ring off, which is the most expensive thing I have. And I'm not a material person, but it's sentimental. But also, and it's just, like, I don't trust anyone with that. I'd rather just not wear it.
Yeah.
And they didn't put that in the disclaimer or the rules that you couldn't wear that. Because otherwise I would have left it at home. And we waited in line, and they put these, like, you know, these vests on us.
Yeah, it's a bit like laser taggy kind of thing, isn't it? Like,
yeah. We
had a gun.
That was attached
like
to it.
A wrist thing.
Yeah.
Remember, because you had to scan them at things
to get points.
And basically the show just involved, like, it had the thinnest of premises. Like, it wasn't really immersive theater. Like, we got in there, we stood in a room. Some people, like, pretended to act for about 5 minutes going, "Ooh, there's this lab and
this breakthrough, and this doctor who went crazy and he went too far, and suddenly there are zombies."
Yeah, exactly. And then they were like, just go out there. And basically, you just spend your whole time running up and down stairs.
Like, 7 flights of stairs.
Yeah.
It was a lot of stairs.
It was a lot of stairs. And you'd shoot, but you realize, like, actually, this gun is just like a clicky thing. It doesn't really do anything. It just makes a noise. And then these zombies who were, you know, poor, probably underpaid. Some of them, I think, didn't even get paid because this company
is insane.
Fucking shit. Poor actors who were like, you know, just trying to scrape by.
Yeah.
And people are screaming and yelling at them and pointing guns.
And then on top of that, like, the reason why we're mentioning 6 or 7 floors is because out of nowhere, like, if a zombie even remotely touched you, but sometimes they didn't, you'd lose health. And if you lost like 4 bits of health, your thing would go from green, it would flash green to red. And if it flashed red, you had like a minute to get healthy again.
Yeah,
and you'd have to go
everything.
Yeah, you'd lose absolutely everything. And the only places that you could do that were at the top or the bottom.
Yeah.
And so you'd be losing things all the time, and you'd have to run all the way up or all the way down. People have health issues. They cannot run up 7 flights of stairs. And then all the actors are encouraging you to run. So even if you're clearly exhausted, which there were a lot of troopers who were not very like physically active, right. And they were like, you could get a heart attack.
Yeah, it was. They really pushed you. And I remember I got lost loads, and there was one thing where I stumbled into this room, and it was like a refreshments room.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, thank God, some water. I'm fucking dying here, right? And so I was like, can I have a bottle of water? She was like, yeah, sure, that'll be £2.50 for like a small bottle of water. I was like,
and
right.
The tickets were expensive.
And the tickets were expensive. And I was like, okay, fine, just give me the water, right? At this point, I'm just so thirsty. So she gives it to me. She takes the cap. She's like, you can't have the cap. And I go to leave. She's like, you're not allowed to leave with it either. So I just had to drink this little bottle of Evian just in this room with her just looking at me.
It's ridiculous.
But so this is an interesting thing because The Stage wrote an article about this because it closed.
Right.
Exclusive. Unearthed Council report reveals full horror of safety failings at zombie show Variant 31.
God.
Shocking new details outlining the full extent of safety failings. So actors are owed more than £60,000 in
wages.
Holy
crap.
A closure recommendation was issued by the council following an inspection on the 18th, and they continue to run for 2 more weeks.
Probably when we went.
He didn't get, the producer did not get planning permission.
Oh my God.
The fire brigade issued an enforcement notice, as did the council. They were guilty of 15 breaches of regulatory reform. Failing to provide equipment to tackle fires, failing to establish an emergency plan. And I saw some pictures. They had some pictures of like the places where the actors had to change, and there was just like mold, wall to wall.
Oh my God.
And a load of actors had been assaulted as well by, you know, people getting
super scared because they're dressed like zombies and they kind of come and attack you, and you kind of sign a waiver that they're allowed to grab you a little bit. Which ultimately, I'd love to go to a horror house, a haunted house where you can do that because that sounds like a lot of fun. But
it's when they're good.
Yeah. But ultimately, you know, despite all that, we secured the perimeter.
Yes!
Okay, because they did at the end, they did scoring and everyone's standing there like exhausted and
dripping in sweat.
And number one who got the most points, 55 points, was Robert. And we were waiting around for this putz to come back and join our team. And he was like, hold on, I'm going to go just do one more point.
I'm just going
to
go and secure some more.
So he secured the perimeter one more time. And what's it called? After he did that, I was like, damn, he went and got another point. Guess who came in second with 50 points? Miss Caitlin Marie Barry Newmark.
CMBN.
Yeah. So we were tied, and we both clearly can secure the perimeter because everyone else had like 20 points. So, you know, kids, like, do your HIIT exercises, keep working out, because then you can climb flights of stairs. I think we burnt like 20,000 calories, something ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, also, we didn't know what the... You know, it was like a weekend date night, so we were like dressed
We
up.
Weren't expecting to go into full-on zombie mode,
exactly.
And we weren't with each other for half of it, and then somehow we found each other, and it was really quite fun. I mean, that's what immersive theater is. That part was fun.
Yeah, I still feel a bit bad about that day because of that little froggy guy who I hit in the face.
Rob assaulted someone.
Hey.
No, he didn't. He didn't. I just wanted to say that.
That's allegedly. Let's be clear with the law. It was like just at the end.
It wasn't your fault.
Extra bad because this actor was clearly just about to get off the shift, and they had some other. They had actors who were zombies. They had actors who were also like, come with me, right?
I know a way out. Team troopers.
They'd have guns, and he was. We were all just getting ready to go, and he was like, in there, quick soldier kind of thing. So I went in with him, and he was like, round that corner. So I turn the corner and this guy like lunges at me, but my gun is already out as I turn the corner, and he hits it eye first.
Aww.
And it dislodges his contact, and you can see he's kind of going, oh God. And I reach out to like touch him on the shoulder. I'm like, you know, are you okay? And he kind of goes, and then goes back to like.
Someone give that man an Oscar.
Yeah, he's so committed to his craft.
It clearly wasn't your fault, but the poor guy. And then we learned that they weren't even compensated or paid. But.
No, a bunch of them ended up in hospital because there was asbestos in the air. So they were breathing in toxic.
My God.
It's such a mess.
However, we did secure the perimeter.
Nice. Anything else you want to chat about? We've been going for an hour.
Really? Do you think people would want to listen for an hour to us?
The most popular podcast on the internet is Joe Rogan, and it's often 3 hours.
Holy crap.
Yeah. I think people listen for as long as they want to.
Okay, I have another thing because I just find it hilarious that every time I come on this podcast, I have some kind of Jesus related content to deliver.
Caitlin's Christianity Corner.
Caitlin's Christian Jesus Corner.
Christian Jesus.
As opposed to the Jewish Jesus.
My son. okay, what?
Gospel of Luke, written for the Greeks. Thank you.
That's it. That's what you wanted to talk
about. Written for the Greeks.
Yeah, written for the Greeks.
Yeah, so what do you think that narrative is? It's literally, he was like a banker, and a lot of it's about money, and it's written in Greek, and he wrote it to a Greek audience. Greeks.
So is it more about him? I mean, I'm not very.
They're different. I mean, I haven't read. This is just stuff I like. Have known for years, so right. It's probably wrong at this point. Who knows? But yeah, it was written in Greek. He was Greek himself, and it's just interesting to think about that. Obviously, the Bible is not written by God. It's written by different people in different areas years after Jesus had died.
Yeah.
So all the Gospels that were selected to show up in the Bible. R.I.P. Gospel of Thomas. But those that were selected, they had agendas because you can't help it. Like, right. Writers have agendas. And so each one is different. And I'm pretty sure the Gospel of Luke, written to a Grecian audience to convert Greeks, to get away from that Athena.
Right. From the old pagan polytheistic.
Exactly. So I think a lot of this stuff, like, because everyone's like, well, Christianity, you know, good artists borrow, great artists steal. Christianity is based off a lot of different things, like pagan stuff and whatnot. Like,
because the tree as well, isn't it? The Christmas tree is a pagan thing.
Yeah, exactly. And also, like, Jesus's birthday really would have been in like July or something, but there was a pagan holiday on the 25th of December. I don't know what it is, but we can find it. And like, for instance, Isis was very important for Egyptians and
hold on. Which ISIS?
The original ISIS.
The original.
The one who's found in hieroglyphics.
Yeah.
The beautiful one. Mm. The beautiful ISIS. and like, she was a very holy mother.
Right.
And then we have Mary and
all these things. I mean, it's not just the New Testament. The Old Testament does it too. The whole Noah flood story is. I think the original is like in a Mesopotamian text, but it's actually been replicated like a few times.
That's cool.
Throughout history in different cultures.
And they're good stories.
It's a good story, yeah.
Yeah, the Bible's a great read.
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes.
Right?
Sometimes it's like, oof.
Yeah, sometimes it's like giving you measurements of cubits, and you're like...
And sometimes it's like homophobic. So, oh, right, yeah. You know, there's that as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it's got some of that in there.
There's this amazing passage, and I don't remember what the, you know, I don't know if it's like Mark 3:16 or any of that.
Right.
But where Jesus is really agitated and angry, and he basically goes, you know, if your eye is stopping you, pull it out. If your limbs are stopping you from like believing, saw them off. Ooh. And I'm like, this is some Old Testament shit. We're getting it from Jesus. Yeah, I swear to God.
If he was around today, people would be like, you have a platform. You have to be more responsible.
You have a platform.
Because he'd be an influencer. They'd be like, you have to set a good example.
Yeah, that's true.
Jesus the influencer.
Jesus the influencer. I love it. Let me just find it so I can I can quote it, because you said that there's time to edit.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, back.
We are back. So this appears in different ones because there's one with Mark as well, but I'm going to read from Matthew.
Okay.
And it always stuck with me because, you know, like, I grew up in a Lutheran church and I had a female pastor who adopted a baby and was married. So it was quite progressive in that sense. And it was a really lovely community. But it was also a community that allowed me to question things. I guess that's why I bring it up on a podcast and whatnot, because I'm not religious.
Right.
At all. But I just think it's really interesting because I think this stuff keeps popping up.
Yeah. Well, we were both sort of raised religious and then went away from like the organized side of it. But I think it's given us a certain... What is it? It's like you have, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a set of morals or ethics or...
Yeah, for sure.
You definitely have a wider scope. You and I think still have some kind of belief, not in God necessarily, but in, I don't know, the human spirit.
Spiritualism, yeah.
Something like energy. That. Energy.
I mean, we didn't get married in a religious place.
No, but we had little sort of nods to all different types.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
I think it enriches life in a certain way if it's done the right way.
Well, it's a sense of community if it's done right.
Yeah.
And I think that's very important
and
to people.
And tradition.
Yeah, exactly. And so I just think about it often, even though it's not really a part of my life now. However, when I was quite religious and everything was
super
like, so,
religious, weren't you?
Yeah. So positive and whatnot. Anyway, so this came up, and it's Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 and 30. Mm-hmm. Jesus is angry, man.
Angry Jesus.
Angry Jesus. Hashtag angry Jesus. Yeah. Okay, so it's, if your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell.
Whoa.
Intense, right? And that was like not the King James Version. That's like the New World Translation.
The New International Version. Yeah. That's a common one online. Wow. That's some really extreme. He doesn't talk about hell that much either. So
no, he doesn't talk about this type of stuff, I don't think. I mean, at least that's not the image he has today.
There's one famous verse about like a sword as well. Like, yeah. I came not to bring peace, but a sword or something like that.
Something, I don't know.
Can you fact check that? Because I don't want to get that wrong. You do get a couple of examples of angry Jesus. He's got his moments. So have you found
also Matthew? Dude.
Matthew?
Yeah, but we just did 29:30. This is Matthew 34.
Okay, so he was having a bad week.
Oh, Matthew 10, though. So yeah, it's more than that. But
okay, bad month.
Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send or bring peace, but a sword.
Yeah. Now, obviously, again, as with the gouging the eye out thing, the same thing here, you can read it non-literally, can't you?
Yeah.
You can be like, well, he's speaking figuratively, like to break
to
down.
To shake things up. Well, that's what Martin Luther King Jr. did and whatnot. It's, you know.
A lot of great people throughout history have had to change things.
Yeah.
I think what we're seeing now is like, maybe a change of things have been unjust for a long time. And how does change happen? Like sometimes through peace and sometimes through a sword.
But also, what is a sword?
Well,
because
exactly.
A sword could just be people being uncomfortable.
Well, exactly. You know what's really interesting is when I'm teaching like kids who are like 10 or 11, sometimes I'll show them, I think it's called an epigram. No, it's not. Anyway, it's called something. Metonymy, I think. It's figurative language. And the example is, the pen is mightier than the sword.
Mm.
And I always ask them, do you agree with that? And they never, ever agree. First of all, like straight off the bat, they're always like, no, because I could get a sword and smash
it. Well, bam.
Right? But then they talk about it a bit more and like, well, what is strength? What does it require?
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't a sword that took us all in to lockdown, was it?
It was a pen.
It was a pen.
Yeah.
And they always go,
it's actually a bat.
Spoiler alert, turns out it's a bat. What do you think of the latest conspiracy theory about COVID-19? Have you heard it?
No, what is it?
So, it was made in a lab.
Oh yeah, I did hear that.
But not for any nefarious reason, right? Not because like they were trying, you know, they're trying to poison us. Not that. They were trying to just come up with like a vaccine for coronaviruses in general.
And people
got
sick?
And it released, yes. Yeah, somehow someone got sick and they went back and it spread like wildfire. But the backing this up, that the conspiracy is, maybe it's not conspiracy, I don't know, but this is what I've heard, is that because it dies so quickly in the sunlight, but it spreads so rapidly indoors, that would suggest that it's a lab-made thing because most viruses don't naturally happen indoors like that, right? So That's the latest conspiracy theory. What do you think?
I mean, do not wet markets have ceilings?
Yeah, they do have ceilings. Yeah.
That's indoors.
That is indoors and crowded and packed.
And supports the original theory of a bat shitting on a pangolin.
That might have been me flowering, as I understand it. Just an enthusiast.
I do understand the lab thing, though, and I'm not... I'm not necessarily opposed to believing that, but I also think that if it is an indoor thing, that's been the narrative the whole time.
That has been the narrative the whole
time. So what are you trying to say? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is...
Not you, I meant the collective you. What are you trying to say?
Fair enough. I don't know. I'm fucking sick of lockdown. That's what I'm saying.
I know. Do you know, lockdown is a thorn in my side, and you were making me think that. And a thorn in my side, that must come from Jesus.
100%. That must come from Jesus,
It must
right?
come from Jesus.
Crown of thorns and the sword in the...
Yeah.
Must be.
Got lots of stuff that comes down from...
Yeah.
Weird things like that.
Yeah.
Oh, we had a question on a quiz recently. Mm. What do avocados and orchids have in common? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So think about it, people at home, listeners, if there are any out there. What do avocados and orchids have in common?
Rob will tell you the answer next podcast.
3, 2, 1. Yeah, I'll leave that as a teaser. What do they have in common? No, it's not that they're both a type of plant.
But they're both a type of plant.
Not good enough. It's a much cuter answer than that.
Acute. Like my culinary corner.
Like your culinary corner. Angles. Let's wrap up. Have you enjoyed being a co-host?
Yeah.
This week?
I'm not even good at podcasts. Like, I'm not good at listening to podcasts. This is like a new horizon for me.
Right.
And this is quite fun. Maybe because I like hearing myself and chatting shit.
Yeah. That's why I like them. It's all about just having fun and chatting shit.
Yeah.
So, would you do it again?
I would do it again.
Great. Okay, then. Well, you heard it here first. Where else would you hear it? Leak it to the press. Anyway, yeah. So, thank you very much for listening. I hope you've had a wonderful week. I hope you have a nice evening. I hope you have a nice morning. I hope you have some lovely lunch. I hope you have a cup of tea. I hope you have some water. Don't forget to brush your teeth. Don't forget to wipe your ass.
And we're going to go get a kebab now.
Let's eat!
Yeah!
Thank you for listening to the show. That was The Bliss of the Abyss. All music provided by the incredibly talented Nils Hennis-Steer. If you have anything you'd like to say, positive or negative, send it to theblissoftheabyss@gmail.com and I'll see you soon.
Talk to you tomorrow and have a good night. Talk to you then. Bye.